Blog Talk Radio. Healing is nothing wrong with that, but it's not that if a doctors was exempt, and Jesus is like, no, Jesus created man, hallelujah, and the wisdom. But because this woman in her faith going to the doctors, and when she found out that, you know, she couldn't get healed, she went to the Savior. But, you know, but she did not erase doctors. No, she did. She followed the path that she should have had, going to the doctors. So doctors are real, and we just sometimes feel as though, oh, we're not going to go get checked out. We're not going to be seen, you know. But no, you got to get checked out from a doctor because God gave them the wisdom. So, but before Dr. Nia come on, I'm gonna have my mom read your bio. Did you want to say something, Nia? Because look like you got something on your mind. Did you want to say something? Look. No. I'll say it again.
Oh, this is a blessing.
Amen. 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 I'm going to bring my mom in so she can read the bio, and then we'll get started. You'll okay. be able to speak okay. Mom?
Hello?
Okay.
Yes. All right. Good afternoon, Dr. Bailey. Dr. Bailey's bio, it says, my name is Dr. Nia Amani Bailey. I am a 30-year-old West Philadelphia native who has been employed as a radiation therapist for the past 8 years. As the founder and president of Agape, Finding Your Purpose, Incorporating Your Faith, nonprofit organization, our mission is to feed, clothe, and fellowship the homeless men and women of the Logan Square section of Philadelphia. Ultimately, our goal is to eradicate homelessness everywhere. Also, mm-hmm. I am the creator, writer, and director of A Letter to My Sisters, a breast cancer documentary for young women, which gives some insight into the journey of young women dealing with their breast cancer diagnosis and life itself. The documentary features one Jamaican, an Asian, Puerto Rican woman, Jaque Rivera, who was diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer in her 20s, one Mexican woman, Brenda Durant, who was diagnosed in her 30s. The conversation is in Spanish with English subtitles. One Caucasian woman, Lynn Mitchell, who was diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer in her 40s. In December of 2020, I received my doctorate degree in public administration at Westchester University in Westchester, Pennsylvania. My primary focus for this dissertation is federal health reform, breast cancer outcomes. Dissertation focuses and describes how young women are diagnosed with breast cancer and due to health regulations and guidelines prevents young women from getting early prevention care and services. Such guidelines has resulted in, unfortunately, young women dying from breast cancer. I have dedicated my life mission to continue to fight for reform in the health system and educating the community about breast cancer awareness and resources. My qualitative dissertation seeks to prove the significance of lowering the mammogram age from 40 years old to 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
This study aims to examine policy frameworks for screening mammograms change spelling and insurance mm-hmm. coverage. Last but not least, I am the author of a children's book/coloring book, which titles Love Thy Neighbor. Love Thy Neighbor highlights a little girl's mission to feed, clothe, and fellowship with homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And God bless you, Dr. Bailey.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Mom. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. She's like, I'm going to read it so I know you'll get it right. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Hello, Dr. Moore. Yes. Hi, Dr. Moore, my spiritual mother. How about she is the one who connected us. Oh, my gosh. She is so bomb. Amen. I thank God for her. Amen. Amen. Hello, Dr. Mills, and congratulations. My girlfriend just graduated with her doctoral degree. Yes, so I just want to say welcome, welcome to those who are coming on and who for those who will be joining us. But Dr. Nia, I'm not going to hold you any longer, so I just want you to just share. I know I'm just so hyped up. I just want you to just share, and thank you, Mom, again for reading Dr. Nia's bio. But that's my admin. She don't know it yet. Amen. But go ahead, Dr. Nia. Let's hear from you and all the great things that you are doing.
Okay, so my name is Nicole. I became a grandfather. I have not seen cancer here. And that came to shield that helped my father. You know, I realized a lot of different breast cancer. When you're old, and at the time she was just freeze, he had ankle sick. She was beautiful, age of 24. A triple negative breast. I said something has to have any person 24, you can get breast cancer. Okay. So wonderful women, one name has, and she was a 42, would always tell me all these coming into treatment. And one day, she reached cancer was metastatic, which means, and she said to me, you know, I'm having all this. I'm never going to look like the same person like before.
Mm-hmm.
Which she ministered to me in saying, you know, make sure that you always. And she raised up. She had a strong will that she passed away. She's in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It was very important for sisters of breast cancer documentary. I wanted women to know that it would be the preventative ways to get breast cancer. Sure, there's invasives, genetics, right? To prevent us from getting, as if we're in the breastfeed our children for a year, that decreases our risk from getting breast. Our sugary and alcoholic risk.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise, achieving it, and helping it all. And I know we're in a generation, okay, not cigarettes, but there's alcohol and things like that. But that increases your risk of breast cancer or cancer. These are the things that I wanted to document.
Mm-hmm.
Three, you can live a healthy life and then breast cancer.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, as Quickly said, amazing women along this journey, and I would say their stories were so powerful. For Denise Prepare, she was 9 years old.
Okay.
And in here, how she really had it important for her doctor. If she did not have a baby, but she lived to her body, and it turned out that she had breast cancer. Simply stage 4, that's what, 2-3 years, and she was, you know, being advocated for herself. It made her doctors be amazed. You see the Mexican American on stage, the big and interesting, and a lot of people will say, hey, I don't see them.
Mm-hmm.
From CT. We have laws. We have laws prohibiting you from getting help. You said how she was able to get all her treatment, like with her 2 children, and then same thing with Lynn Mitchell, diagnosed in her 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Singing strong, that they listen to their selves. That's so important because you know your body, and that's the positive. You know your body, and you see even your life. There's nothing to be afraid of your body, and don't seek help, who knows what's going to happen in the future? They listen to their body.
Mm-hmm. You're kind of breaking up a little bit. Yeah. Can you hear me?
I hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you were just breaking up just a little bit. Yeah. That's okay.
Let me.
Yeah. Yeah, can you hear me now? Oh, let me just see. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, yes.
Okay.
Okay. All right. One of the things that you said when I had read about, I think it was your dissertation, how you were, one of the things that, can you hear me?
I can hear.
Okay, one of the things that you did it on and you was primarily focused on, I guess, the younger generation, like fighting for them to be able to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We were fighting for them to, each time clinicians are so focused on the mammogram, the age to get a mammogram, which is 40. So if you're
mm-hmm.
younger than that,
mm-hmm.
and you want, oh, young for that, but that's not the case.
Okay.
So we want to teach the clinicians to say, they are always right.
Okay.
And that's not matter. And if that young person has a problem, you need to listen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, for example, you know, I'm not a breast cancer survivor. Or understand my family cancer history.
Okay.
So that's the first thing on the gap. My family has
mm-hmm.
cancer. So I took that information to my gynecologist.
Okay.
All that information in the system. And because of my family history, I have a I'm high risk for getting breast cancer. I'm already at 29 years old. I'm 30 now.
Okay.
I received ultrasound, mammogram,
mm-hmm.
and a breast MRI.
Okay.
And now I need to get a 3D mammogram push for that.
Mm-hmm.
And had I brought that information to my doctor, then who knows if I were or would not have breast cancer. So
wow.
It's important for them to keep up with my body
mm-hmm.
to determine, hey, I'm high risk. It's a potential that I get breast cancer anytime.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what we wanted to teach the clinicians. It doesn't matter the age or anything. I mean, you think about it. There's pediatric cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Babies are 2 years old.
Right.
So a 2-year-old can get cancer as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember
mm-hmm.
My mom, she went to her primary doctor, and her primary doctor said that she didn't have to get any mammograms because of her age. And my mother's like, yes, I do. And she had a friend, Mom, I hope I'm telling it correctly. She had a friend in her late 70s. Well, I think she was in her early 80s, and that they discovered a cyst, you know, but they was able to remove it, you know, where she was able to get some healing. But, you know, you cannot, you know, disregard someone's age, whether you're young or whether you're old, and just not old, but seasoned, and just say, hey, I don't really think that you need it at this age, you know. But yes, my mother is like, yes, I need mine, you know. But that was a fight that she had with her doctor. Oh, I need it. She said, okay, and she gave her a script. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I believe we're the
fight.
Instead of just
have
to advocate, but unfortunately, we do have to do that. Like,
mm-hmm. Oops. Yeah. I see. Okay, hold on, you guys. Okay. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Mm-hmm. I mean, as a radiation therapist, I've treated patients who were 5 to 99, so it doesn't matter.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Seek help. If you find something wrong with your body, seek help. And not even that. Once you are at that age, go yearly. I know sometimes they like to say, oh, well, you have a clean mammogram
every
2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You
yeah. And that's something, because some people don't advocate those, and it's like, you know, whatever they tell me, that's it. But I love the documentary that you have done. Did one of the girls pass away, or all of them are still living?
They're all living. They're
oh, and yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Amen. Amen to that. Yes. Yes.
And that's why it was so important to tell their stories, because had they not advocated for themselves,
yes,
who knows where they'd be? But because they advocated for themselves, they listened to their bodies, they are living beautiful lives with their families.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Oh, my God, you are such an extraordinary woman, and a young woman who's so focused and have given your time, you know, just not just to go to school, to become a doctor and reap the benefits of the financial aspect part of it. But, you know, it's bigger than that for you. It's your passion and your heart to really see people be healed from that, and just bringing awareness, you know, to advocate for yourself. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think that's really extraordinary. I do. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I do.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my God. Yes, I do. Oh, my
God. So funny, because I wrote the documentary, I guess, 2 years ago, and I wasn't going to do it. And my girlfriend, she is an actress and actor. And, you know, she said, Nia, you have to live your dream. And you have to do it. And I'm like, oh, no, I'll wait. And you know, I won't do it. Well,
yeah.
When God says, okay, you don't want to do it now, so I'll make you do it. So I had hip surgery, and I was out for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So instead of watching the Gorgonzola every day, I had to be obedient and write the script, you know? Because he said, okay, you're too busy at work, okay, now you're not working, so what you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, you really have to be obedient. He's
going
to
make you
obedient.
He's
going to
make you.
So,
yes, he is.
Okay. So it was so easy to do, because the questions were all about them. So I really didn't do the work. It was them telling their stories and being so vulnerable to tell it.
Wow.
And we were in a safe space that I feel like they were okay in telling it, and it just flowed naturally. And I had a great team. I shot it at Daydream Creative Studios in Ardmore, PA. Judy Smith-Bogad, she was the videographer. My mom, Narda Fields Bailey, she fed us the crew because she has a no prep business.
Oh, yes, she's coming on my podcast too. Go ahead.
And the whole family sponsored it. My brother has a jump remove business, Forest Hill jump remove, and he sponsored it. My sister-in-law has a photo booth business. She sponsored it.
Oh, my God.
It was a family affair, you know, all to make, you know, baby Nia's dreams come true.
It's
nothing like
together.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's got it all together. And the premiere was at the Philadelphia Country Club in Glenwood, PA, and it was just so beautiful to see all these survivors that are thriving.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And, you know, it was beautiful because our MC was Patty Jackson, so she showed us so much love. Yes.
She's such an awesome woman, too.
Yes. And a wonderful Dr. Monique Gary. She was at one point, I think she's one of three now, but she was the only African-American surgeon in PA. And I think she's one in three, which is, like, nothing at all.
Yes.
And, you know, she blessed the stage, and it was just beautiful. Just to show awareness. And at the end of that premiere, you can hear women saying, you know, I need to get my mammogram, or, you know, I need you to talk to my mother about my family cancer history. You know, and that's the conversation that we wanted everybody to get to.
Oh, wow.
How we save lives.
Yes.
And because, and especially culturally, when my mom said she was growing up, she didn't know how her aunt and uncle passed away. They just passed away from some disease or something like this. Now, my mom's like, I have this, you have that, your uncle has this, because life is power. And like I said, with that information, you can bring it to your doctor, and there's certain things that are available for you so that you can receive adequate care.
Wow.
So it was absolutely beautiful just to premiere it, and the goal is for the world to see it. You know, we want to get it on any platform, Hulu, Netflix, or something, for people to really see it. And we want part two, part three, part four, because although breast cancer is it's so broad.
Okay.
Any types of breast cancer. And no breast cancer is the same in a woman. Everything's individualized.
Wow.
So we really want to push that. It's so important.
Yeah. Wow. The documentary, is it out where we can watch it, or are you, or is it going on the platform? Can we watch it?
Not right now.
Okay.
So, it's out, though, if you wanted to have, like, a group of people watch it, and then we'll share it that way, but it's not, like, on any platform right now. That's what
we're believing for a platform, honey, because that's coming. We're going to touch and agree on that one, yeah.
Yes, we are. For that.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we're just showing it, like, for screenings. Or
yes.
Is there information out there?
Absolutely. That is so, so wonderful. Oh, my God. You all are being blessed, the viewers, the listeners. Like, oh, my God, she is just pouring it on. I'm telling you, and how important it is to go get your annual mammograms and push for an advocate for it. Like, those were young women advocate. Like, my mom, she advocated for hers. Like, look, no, give me a script. And they gave her a script. Everything is fine, praise God. But she was advocating for herself, and that's what you have to do, no matter how young or how old. And I also want to ask you, the women that's in your documentary, was it because of past, because of, I guess, like, in terms of, like, their family, like, you know, in terms of them saying, hey, I need to be seen, or, hey, I need a mammogram? Was it because of family history?
That's a great question. So, no. The two women, Janique, who was in her 20s, she felt something, and she pressed for it, and it took months for her to be seen, but she pressed for it. Nothing in her family.
Okay.
Anything with Bridget Durante's, nothing in her family. She felt it, but because being that mother that she is, and you know, as a mom, you push through it. I got to take care of my children. I got to do this, and then I got to take care of me. Lynn, who was diagnosed in her 40s, her mother was actually diagnosed with a breast cancer, and she said, hey, you know, it's genetic at this point because she is my biological mother. I need help. And they said, no, wait until you're 40. And she got her mammogram, and she had it. So, you know, things I've been doing fine, but the point is, the earlier you detect it, the better your prognosis is.
Right.
So
you
didn't have to wait.
So,
we really want to push. I know sometimes it's scary. You don't think that you can, you know, kind of tiptoe with your doctor, but they work for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sometimes that we have to realize that. And if they're not listening to you, fine. Don't get upset. Go to somebody else, because there is a doctor that is going to listen to you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. One of my, one of my doctors, she said, I get it. She said, my daughter's your age.
Mm-hmm.
She said, and I would want somebody to listen to my daughter if she was position. So we really have to step in other people's shoes and say, hey, they're scared. All you got to do is a simple scan and see if something's there. If it's not, praise God. If it is, praise God, too.
Mm-hmm,
and that's
what
we're going to get help, and we're going to help this person.
Yeah. Wow.
Simple.
Yeah, really, because, and sometimes we don't want to leave our doctor because we've been with them for so long, but hey, get out of there and go and get another opinion, because you're right, somebody will hear you. It got to be a doctor out there who will actually hear you so you can go be seen. That is so true. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, and this is why I really push for, not only for them, but my friend, Jacqueline Smith. She, I met her as a radiation therapist. I treated her. She, a Caucasian woman, she was an architect, and her story was, you went to her gynecologist and said, hey, you know, I feel something, and the gynecologist something, and said, it's just a cyst or five. Six months later, she went back to get her IUD taken out because she can have a family, but because she goes back to her gynecologist when you're there, they feel on you, and the gynecologist thought again, and her eyes got big, and Jacqueline knew what that meant.
Yeah.
Sent her for an ultrasound, sent her for a mammogram, got a biopsy, and she had triple negative breast cancer. And she was so frustrated, because had that clinician listened to her earlier before, her prognosis would have been different.
Mm-hmm.
So she went the round of chemotherapy, then surgery, then radiation. She was doing fine. Then she started to have headaches. And it turned out that the cancer metastasized and spread to her brain, so she had brain surgery. And talking to her, she was amazing. And she said, you know, Mia, this is frustrating. I always wanted children, but I know this is a hurdle that I have to get over.
Okay.
And I'm going to have children. Well, my friend passed away at 34 years old. But before she passed away, she said, Mia, don't forget about me. Fight for me.
Wow.
And this is why, other than the other ladies that were interviewed, I did this for her, because advocacy is key. And she kicked herself, and it wasn't her fault at all.
No.
She kicked herself for not seeking help that 6 months prior.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But, hey, a lot of us take our doctor's word for the thing, and that's fine. But if you really feel in your heart, in your gut, that something is wrong, ask for help. And there, if that doctor's not listening, seek help from somebody else, like you said. It's
yeah.
okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, doctors should want you to seek a second opinion. You
sure.
know?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, that is something. It don't have to be genetic, you know. Just go and get treated. Go and get exam. Go, and if you feel as though that there's something there, like Dr. Nia said, go get a second opinion. Oh, my God, this is just such good stuff right now. I see you all in the chat. Yes, I'm telling you. It's just something. And also, tell me about the Agape. You have so much stuff going on. To be young, you just have, like, how do you do it? I'm seeing patients on top of that. Remind me of my aunt before she retired. She was in nuclear medicine, and she was just always on the go. But tell me about the Agape ministry. I don't know. Did you want to read some stuff in the chat? I can't see it. Can you see it?
You're fine. I think we were just saying powerful information, knowledge, and power.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so that stems from my lovely, lovely grandmother.
Okay.
Lorraine. They called her Smiley because she smiled all the time. She came from a little town called Ennery, South Carolina, and she migrated to Philadelphia, and she taught my mother and three brothers and my brother and myself that the only time you look down on someone is if you are sending a hand down to help them up.
Wow.
So that being said, whenever I was with my Smiley and we would pass somebody who was homeless, she would always, always offer them some agape love, pray with them, talk to them, smile, ask them if they wanted some food, if they wanted some water, the little, and my Smiley was no Bill Gates at all. But whatever she had, she would give it.
Okay.
So that stems from her, because prior to her passing, I don't know what made her, well, God made her say this to me. She really emphasized the word agape and how that's, you know, unconditional, pure love that God has for us.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants us to give to other people so that, hey, come to our kingdom. So agape, finding your purpose, incorporating your faith, became to be. And simply, we just give clothes to the homeless men and women, food, and just fellowship with them. Because, yes, it's important to give food and clothes, but they want to be seen.
Yeah.
And my mother would always tell me, you know, we are all one paycheck or one decision away from being homeless, and I would want somebody to help me any way that they can.
Wow.
So my mom would pray with them. Ugh. If they wanted their GED, we would try to get some services for them.
Uh-huh.
One of the homeless men, we call him the mayor. He's called the mayor because everybody just kind of trusts him.
Yeah.
He's received funding and has his own apartment. So things like that we love to see because we've known them for years.
Wow.
And just to see them doing better really warms our hearts that, you know, we're just simply giving back, because like my mom said, we are just one
away
from being the same, and I will want somebody to see me, and I will want somebody to help me out.
Wow. Is it a location you go to, or you just be every, really, it is? Okay.
Typically, Logan Square section of Philadelphia. We haven't been in a while because of the pandemic, but now that's a little exciting, we're going to go back. But, you know, it's kind of like on wheels. Whenever you see somebody, come help.
Yes. And what was that saying that your grandma said? If somebody
Yes, never look down on anyone unless you're extending a hand down to help them.
Ooh, I just don't love it.
Don't judge anybody. We are all, listen.
Yes.
We all have vices. We all made one decision, but by the grace of God, I am not in that predicament, you know?
Yes.
How many times have I had to call my mom, can you give me $20?
You know what I'm saying?
Pizza, my dad, you know? But, you know, if it wasn't for them, I would be hungry. You know? So, you know, I really thank God for my family.
I know you do.
You know, my friends. But, you know, if it wasn't for them, I would be in that position. And people always say, well, I don't want to talk to that bum. First of all, that person's not a bum.
That's right.
You don't know the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was in their shoes and I wanted food, I would pray somebody would give me food.
Yes.
Because I know what it's like right now when I'm angry, and but at the same time, I can go in the refrigerator and get something to eat. I'm just lazy and don't want to do it.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yes, yes.
They don't have those same opportunities.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wow, that's so wonderful. That's always been a passion of mine, and that's what I do. I just love to feed the homeless and help people who are in need, you know, and that kind of never goes away because my mom and them are missionaries, and they just missionaries at heart, like whatever they can do, you know, to help someone, you know. My spiritual mother, the same, Reverend Morris, she's like that as well. I think that is so wonderful, and I like that, how you incorporating faith, you know, into your organization. I love that part. I love the spiritual part of that. I do.
That's my mom.
Okay.
So funny. The older I get, I realize why my mom did certain things. Because when I was young, I said, oh, Father, do I have to get up at 7 a.m. to go to church?
Okay.
We have to listen to Fred Hammond and Spirit of David one more time.
Yes. I get
but
it.
Now, whenever I'm in some type of turmoil, I just want to praise just what I listen to, Spirit of David. Whenever, I read my Bible before I go to bed, I devotion and this and that, and I didn't understand it then, but I thank God for my mind for pouring into me.
Yeah.
Because I use those tools now
mm-hmm.
to the point where, you know, I'm telling my nieces now, you know, B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me.
Yes, yes.
This is what we're doing.
This is what we're doing.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
He taught me no matter what you do, give God praise.
Yeah.
No matter what.
No matter what. And I just love it because on top of being a doctor and the scientific part of it, you still believe God. And earlier I read the scripture about the woman with the issue of blood. I came from Mark 5:26. And how, you know, she sought different physicians. You know, she sought the doctors and spent all she had. And when Jesus came, he healed her. You know, we're not exempt from doctors. God placed doctors here and have given doctors wisdom. You know, sometimes we can get so super spiritual. Oh, no, God going to heal me right now. Okay, yes, God can heal you. You know, but God placed doctors here like you on this earth and giving you the wisdom, you know, and have the faith to know where true healing is coming from. You know what I'm saying? So I just love it where, you know, you're like a believer and you're a doctor. You know, on top of that, I just love that, honey. Let me tell you, God is doing something okay on earth. And we look at the news and it looks like, oh, everything is bad, but they don't show the good stuff is happening. You know what I'm saying? So I bless God for you. You know, a woman of faith, and I'm looking at your emails and when they come through and your inspirational saying and scriptures at the end, I'm like, yes, let's go. I just love it. I love it. I love it. And I know that, and then look how God is using you and in that place where you at. And even though I know I go to job, you can't be all spiritual and stuff, but just your light that shine. Like when my spiritual mother connected us, Reverend Moore, Dr. Moore, it's like through the phone, I could just feel your glow. Didn't know that you was a Christian, know you were saved, but you could just feel, you know, that positive vibe come through the phone. And I said, I know this woman is a believer. And when you sent me your email, I said, oh, yes, she is. You know, I love those folks who's not saved. I believe in God for their salvation. I'm not so, what's that saying, so heavenly bound on earthly good. No, no, no. But I was like, it was just your light that was shining through the phone without me even seeing you physically. Oh, my God, and when your email came through, and I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, won't God do it? So I just love it. Is anybody saying up in the chat? You can keep an eye on that for me because my eyes are
stretching. Powerful information. Awesome.
Okay.
No questions, though. We're doing good.
Okay. So if y'all have any questions, you can put that in the chat. So, and I wanted to also talk about your children's book. Yes.
So once again, all about Smiley, my grandma.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically the same thing as a derivative of the nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
So it tells the story of how Lorraine Smiley came from the inner East, South Carolina, Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
She taught Nia how to give back when Smiley passed away. Nia still took on what Smiley taught her.
Wow.
And who's taught my brother and father and mother as well.
Mm-hmm.
So she's taught me to create the organization.
Mm-hmm.
She taught my mother to feed the masses, the homeless, and that's how my mother created More Than Kale.
Okay. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
She taught my brother about financial literacy and helping, you know, helping our culture, our people. So my brother not only has the Four Hills Junk Removal, but he teaches people about financial literacy.
Okay.
And my father, being a voice to the voiceless, and my dad is really the voice to the voiceless.
Okay. can.
He helps everybody. You know, I can say this person get my nerves, and he will find a way to say this person's a good person. So he is that person. So Smiley poured into all of us, and those, although she's not here on this side of, you know, on this side of heaven.
Yeah.
We are living out her we're living out what she wanted us to do.
Yeah.
So, and that's what that is. So it's a coloring book.
That's awesome.
And then it's interactive. It asks the children, you know, what's this Smiley pouring to you? What is agape love for you? It's a puzzle. It's so many interactions, just so for basically children to have fun, to interact. But if you are really into it, you find that they're understanding what agape love is, which connects to our Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
So we're giving them a mix of everything.
Okay. And where could they purchase the book?
Amazon. Just type in Love Thy Neighbor. Amazon. There you go.
Oh, my gosh, guys. So I'm going to pin that in there a little later. It's Love Thy Neighbor. Did Dr. Moore say something, Reverend Moore?
She said, thank you both for sharing this outstanding information. Much needed. Yes, awareness so we don't perish for lack of knowledge.
Yes. I tell you, so it's on Amazon, Love Thy Neighbor, and you are the author, right, Nia Belli?
Yes, and my friend Jody Faber, she's the illustrator. She did an amazing job.
Wow.
To the point where, I mean, the illustration looked like me, my dad, my brother.
Oh, my gosh.
Phenomenal job. Yes.
Wow. And I also wanted to go back to the beginning. You were kind of breaking up some, but I think you're perfectly fine now. You mentioned something about when you went back and when you started with the with being the radiation technician. It was because of your father?
Yes. So
okay.
I've always wanted to be in the medical field.
Okay.
I kind of wanted to be an OBGYN, just like Claire Hux, or just like he's comfortable.
Yeah.
But once I volunteered, I said, this is not for me.
Okay. Yes.
And then they said, you know, your sister's soldier, you always put the call. So I volunteered at a law firm, and I was bored. I fell asleep, so I couldn't do it.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't until my father was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and he received radiation treatment, and I actually volunteered there. I said, oh, this is it. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what got me into radiation therapy. I love it. I've been doing it all of my career. So I'm 30, almost 8-9 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And so because I'm a daddy girl. So,
oh, yeah. My God.
Mom's probably rolling her eyes, though.
Look, my youngest sister, Nikki Penny, is on here, but my youngest sister said, you know, because my dad passed away from COPD a few years ago. Yeah, thank you. So, but they said when he passed away, they tell me, oh, my God, daddy is still living when they looked at me, right? So, anyway, my sister said, you know what? Every time you go on your podcast, you always come up with all this stuff that daddy just said to you. Are you serious? Yes. So I get it. My mom be calling me Junior. I get it. Oh, my gosh, too funny. But so I get in being a daddy's girl. That is for sure. Because my two sisters, Dad did not share that with us. Girl, I have all kinds of sayings that he didn't say. It is for Rachel saying. Oh, my God.
Hilarious.
So
you know.
I so get it. Yes, but you had mentioned something earlier about someone that had prostate cancer. I wasn't,
I think I was saying, you know, because of my dad who had prostate cancer, I got into the field.
I thought that was it.
And then, you know, I saw so many women being diagnosed with breast cancer. One woman was 24 years old. She had two children, and we looked the same. We both had phosphorus.
Mm-hmm.
We both, you know, had anklet, and she passed away of breast cancer. And that's when I'm like, hold on, like, what is happening? This isn't normal.
Okay.
So, same thing with my friend, Kwani Lopez. And I think people don't realize sometimes, too, with radiation, we're with them anywhere between 4 to 7 weeks. So we really create a bond. So either, you know, they don't like us or they do, but hopefully they do. And, you know, we see them Monday through Friday. So we really create a bond. So the one woman, Kalani Lopez, she was super funny, super sassy.
Mm-hmm.
But during her treatment, she found out that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she had a hard time believing on what
happened.
She showed me a picture of what she used to look like.
Okay,
but
okay.
Prophesized over herself. She still believed in, you know, the word of God.
Wow.
And when I visited her in the hospital,
yes.
she asked about how my research was going, and I had no answer for her, and that really bothered me. But she asked about my mom, that's my dad, she asked about my brother, and she passed, but these are the things that drive me, because I didn't have an answer for her then, but before God takes me away, I want to have an answer, you know, so that it's no longer... Not a definite, but, you know, one of the biggest afraid. One of my mentors, she has metastatic breast cancer, and she said, Mia, I want breast cancer or cancer in general to be that of HIV-AIDS. So in the 80s, when you were diagnosed, that was a death sentence. You know, my uncle Kai, he passed away. Mom, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think 1985.
Okay.
Of HIV-AIDS. Now, if you're diagnosed, you can live forever and ever. What else? She said, Nia, I want breast cancer to be like that, too. You know, you don't want the diagnosis, but you know at least you're going to be okay and you're going to live a long life. So this is where we're trying to get to.
So you actually, like, doing the study of it now, studying that?
Well, that was part of my dissertation, doing the study of it. I'm part of a community advisory board where I have this awesome mentor. Her name is Dr. Jennifer Sims Mortada, and she is going into the research of it, and she's trying to look into our blood to see, hey, does your blood detect your incidence of having breast cancer? And she's doing amazing, so I'm staying, you know, in touch with things like that. There's like a research, too, that's called alcohol-induced breast cancer, that when you binge drink, you have a higher chance of getting breast cancer. So if you have... health issues, if you binge drink and if you're in an environment that's unhealthy, these things increases your risk. So researchers are trying to find all this stuff out. And hey, sometimes you can't help where you live, but guess what? If they look into your blood, which they're doing, then they can start treatments now so that you can, no matter what, live a healthy life, depending on if you have that diagnosis or not. So, you know, it's so crazy. Another doctor, an African-American doctor, Lisa Newman, she went back to Africa. And what she saw was certain places of Africa had increased risk of breast cancer. But we're African-American. We don't know where we come from. So she wants to look at our blood to say, hey, okay, Nia, you're of Ethiopian descent. You have a 25% chance of getting breast cancer. Hey, you're from Nigeria, Botswana, things like that. So we have that power. Like average Dr. Moore said, you know, power is key. You know, knowledge. So that's what everybody is trying to do so we can, you know, save everybody's lives. And not just women's lives, but men's lives, too. Men do get breast cancer as well.
Isn't that something? I have heard of that recently, but, that is really something. Is there something that, you want to add to our listeners and those who are going to be watching the replay? anything you want to share? You just said, so much great information.
You know, I would just say be obedient to what God wants you to do. So, and that goes across the board. If there's something wrong with your body, be obedient and seek help. If, you know, there's something that you want to do in your life but you're afraid, be obedient and go for it. Be obedient, because at the end of the day, I think we all want to be able to say, you know, at the gate, God, I use everything that you So do that, and, you know, I think we're all going to live great, beautiful lives.
That is so wonderful. If you all have any questions, you could just type it in the chat, and we'll answer your questions. Oh, my gosh, this, you have been so informative, and I think that is good. And I'm glad that you threw that out there. Whatever you want to do in life, just go for it, because, you know, pray and seek God. Be obedient to God, because I truly believe when God be tugging on us to do different things, like this morning I talked about on my podcast, overcoming the fear of doubt, because we were doubting it, and we become fearful when we start doubting, but I just believe on the inside of us, we believe that it's there. We're just like, I'm just afraid to overcome this thing. But you got to overcome fear to move past those obstacles and do what God called you to do in life. So it's just so awesome. And so what are you, so what are your plans now? I know you're like just doing so much. I know you're getting ready to go back to Locust Square on wheels.
So, that's the goal, to go back to Locust Square. We have an event where we're having another screening at Theater Inn in Wilmington, Delaware, 10th at 1 p.m.
Okay.
We have another event October 7th at the Philadelphia Museum of Art. We just got word that our American E would be in attendance to our event, Philadelphia Museum of Art. So, mm-hmm. you know, we're really trying to get the information out there. We want to, we're hosting screenings ourselves so people can come to us, get that information, and we can, you know,
mm-hmm.
save Scotty.
Yeah. And how can people follow you? Because, like, when you're in, like, put all your handles out there so people can see all the great things that you're doing, like
Absolutely.
Your website, your everything. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'll do that. Everybody can go on drneaimanibailey.com, and then all the information's on there.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll type it, I'll go in and put it in right after the chat is over. I'll put everything in. Yeah, I think Reverend Moore, did she say something on here? It's the last she said.
She said, so appreciate you, Dr. Nia, and the mm-hmm. work you're doing. Thank you, daughter, for your platform
mm-hmm.
and work to empower our people.
Amen. Amen, Dr. Moore. She's, let me tell you, my spiritual mother, she is all that, honey. She is so bomb. She just have a, just doing a great job. And I think now, Mama Mary, you could put in the chat the things that she's doing now. She has so much stuff going on. I said, her and my mother are seasoned women, but let me tell you, they don't skip a beat. They remind me of Caleb in the Bible. Caleb in the Bible said he got the same strength at 80-something that he had with his 40s. Can you imagine that? And you in your 80s and got the same strength you had when you was in your 40s? Oh,
yes.
He said, give me my V-line. That is mine. Oh, my God. They remind me of Caleb so much because he still had the energy. He still had to fight them. Like, Joshua, we could take this land, like, right now. So God is so faithful. I really, truly enjoyed you being on here with me. You got to come back. And, oh, my goodness. This information is so good, and I know people are going to come on and watch the replay.
Yes, ma'am.
This is so wonderful. Keep doing what you're doing, honey, because you are doing it. And don't let nobody get in your way. Well, honey, that's why I put that song on, Unstoppable.
Yes, I love it. Have us on Hawthorne. That
was perfect. Really? Okay. Girl, you are so unstoppable, honey. And most of all, you know that God is with you. Oh,
thank
my
you.
Goodness.
Thank you. Likewise. I don't think you're obedient to God and look at you.
Yes. Amen. Amen. I tell mm-hmm. you, what's Dr. Moore say?
She said, daughter, you know you blessed me with scripture, and I'm 85 going on 40. And she said, exciting broadcast.
Yes, she is, I tell you. Her and my mama both, she like, let me read that bio because I don't want you getting things all mixed up. Oh, my gosh. So I really enjoyed you. Is anything else you wanted to add before we end the broadcast?
You know, just advocate for yourself and be obedient to God. I think that's it.
Yes, yes, yes. I was looking because my mom is like my admin. She be sending me who's on and stuff like that. Let me tell you, she be on it, okay? I said, well, Mama, when money starts coming in, I am going to pay you and let you be on the payroll. So don't forget, you guys, after the broadcast is over, I'm going to go back on and I'm put all Dr. Nia information so we can support her book that's on Amazon. And something that you got a flyer that was on your page. And what are you doing? Is something a flyer, some empowerment that you're going to be doing?
It's another screen that we're having at Theater Inn in Wilmington, Delaware. It's June 10th. So.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. I wish I could come there, but I won't be back into the city until the end of June, having an appointment to win conference from 10 to 2. So you all who's on here, you better get your ticket for the early bird special is over. Empowered to win. So I'll be having that in Philadelphia this year, but I'll be following you and just seeing all the great things you're doing and support. But I want to thank you so much, Dr. Nia. This was so enlightening and encouraging.
And I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you are so welcome. And listen, you guys, go get your mammograms, go get your yearly physicals and get treated. And you know, and don't be so spiritual that, oh, my God, I know God will heal me. I'm not going to the doctor. No, you got to do your part. You know, faith without works is dead. You got to work out your own soul salvation, right? You got to go. You got to get there. Mm-hmm. So just go and move past that. God, you know, created doctors. So go and get checked out. And don't neglect yourself. And the one thing I have learned, too, me is that caretakers, for our caretakers who may be listening in, you got to go get checked out. You got to go take care of yourself, because sometimes the caretaker go before the person they're taking care of because they're neglecting themselves, you know?
Absolutely.
So I have heard stories, have seen people pass away because taking care of their loved ones or other folk and neglecting themselves. You know, you got to put some time aside for you. Go get checked out. Go get yourself checked out. God created doctors. So, and God is a healer, but God created doctors. Amen. So, and he will do the rest. Lady Martin says,
thank you, ladies. Great information.
And it was one right before that.
Very informative.
Okay. Amen.
Uh-huh.
You know, my vision is not the greatest, so that's, but thank you for reading. Oh, that's my cousin, Marisha. Hi, Marisha. All the way from South Carolina. Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, and Lydia Martin is my mom who read the announcement, who read the bio.
She did so good.
Yes. We're going to pray out because the broadcast has come to an end. I just heard it say 90 seconds left, but you are not going to get clicked off of the people who dialed in. But thank you, you guys, everybody who dialed in to listen to this broadcast, and go check Dr. Nia Bailey book out on Amazon. And it's called, what is it, Love Thy Neighbor.
Yes, ma'am.
Love Thy Neighbor. So let us pray. Father, we thank you. We bless you, God. We love you so much, God. We thank you for being on this podcast with us, God. God, I'm just bursting with so much energy and so much joy. And I thank you, God, for giving favor, God. I thank you, God, for allowing me to say yes to come onto this podcast to share her knowledge, God, and drop jewels and nuggets on us on today, God. All the information that was so needed, God. Touch those who will watch the replay, God. We thank you for touching me, and we believe for a platform on today, God, that a network will documentary to you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. We thank you, God. She already got the pitch, God. It's already done. When she go before kings and queens, God. Oh, God, we do thank you, God, for allowing her to shake up a nation, God. We thank you, God, for her positivity, God. We thank you for your spirit of David that's inside of her, God. Oh, we thank you, God, that she's slaying giants in the name of Jesus, dear God, with wealth and knowledge, God. We thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, dear God. Whatever resources she needs, whatever finances she needs, God, cover her right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Touch her mouth before she open up to speak, God, that only your words will come out of her mouth, God. We do thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, we thank you, God, even touch her lab coat on today, God. Oh, hallelujah, God. Send your anointing upon her, God. We do thank you. Touch her whole family. Touch everybody that's on this podcast on today, God. We believe you, God. We believe healing, God. We believe in doctors, but we know who the true doctor is, and that's you, God. We thank you for being our physician, God. When we couldn't see around the corner, you was right there to catch us, God, before we fell. And, God, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, dear God, touch everyone that's on this podcast on today, God, the ones who will watch the replay. Do it right now for your glory, God. But most of all, Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus, dying across for our sins that we may have everlasting life. You say in thy word, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe that you have raised your son, Jesus, from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. It's in Jesus' name. Cover our family and our children, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Woo, Jesus, hallelujah. Girl, it is already done. Do you hear me? It is done. Woo, God. God is using you, honey, internationally, God. Woo, God, I thank you, God. Woo, glory be to God. Woo, Jesus, thank you. Oh, it's already done. I thank you, sweetheart, for being with us on the day. You're the same age as my children. So I thank you. For being on here today, oh my God, you just got them by 2 or 3, 4 years, but oh my God, you are doing a mighty work, and I just bless you that you would even give your time, honey. I just thank you. I got to get you back again, though. So anything you want to add before we close out?
No.
You think you're good? Just making sure nobody up there is something. Okay, that is good. So God bless you, Dr. Nia, and I'll see you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I believe in that. Yes. Amen.
Yes,
all right. Bye.